Our Heavenly Father, thank you again for the precious Word of God. We ask you to help us in this hour. Thank you for these good folks are here today, and I pray it be not time wasted. The greatest thing we have to hear from you. And I know I try my best to spend some time with you this week, Lord, on things in turn which would help us as children of God. And nothing that is a rerun, so to speak, because we get dull of that, but in turn something that this book teaches us about our life. Thank you. We know how we got saved. We know, thank you for the gospel message. But Lord, we who know Christ as Savior, we need more than that to help us day by day. And I pray today this will be a great journey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible, if you will, to Romans chapter 8 to start with. Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to read a few verses there. Before I read this, though, my message is taking David, and the title is, I'm on the Winning Side. And the reason for that, I think that David's life is one of the most complicated lives we can find when you look at what happens on the inside and what happens on the outside of one's life. Did you know there's probably just as much so more turmoil on the inside of a child of God's life today as is on the outside? The outside we can see physically, but none of us today can see the turmoil in each one of our hearts right now. Only God can see that. And yet many times in life, what's in our hearts will be manifested somehow or another. A lot of problems in people's lives nowadays is because they didn't act or go or approve or at least submit or obey what God said to do in our hearts, and that therefore we hide things in turn so others can't see, but then certainly Satan finds a way to bring something out, has no matter whatsoever, in turn to cause a problem in someone's life. And so many times what you see on the surface, it's something, a symptom of something that's taken place, I said many times, not every time, but something takes place inside that where it was not corrected. Or if it was corrected, God brought something out in turn to show that whatever happens in our life, that's not our destiny, that's temporary. And so when I looked this morning, I know this, the unsaved need to hear the gospel. They need to hear it and hear it. There's no just try to teach them anything else. If they don't hear the gospel and obey that, you might as well stay out of the book of Revelation. You might as well not try to talk about God's kingdom. On the other hand, when you and I get saved, we thank God for the gospel. And we love the gospel. But if we get up and preach the gospel every Sunday to a church this morning, who maybe everybody here is saved, if you're not careful, become dull of hearing. Why? We hear what we know, and sometimes we kind of pass it by and think it's needed for the person next to me rather than myself. And we all, including myself, can become dull of hearing. On the other hand, when you and I get born again in the family of God, we've been forgiven our sin, and we know there are certain sins that society knows is sin. And in turn, if we hear that all the time also, we become dull of hearing. The Bible says a lot of times that God's people become dull of hearing. Why? Because they hear something they already know, and they've already paced their life where they're at with what they hear, and because they're not going to do anything else, it becomes dull of hearing. So this Bible goes beyond that, though. This Bible shows us that God has not only told us how to get saved, what we should do, which the world won't listen to. On the other hand, it also tells us when we trust Christ as Savior, what should be done in our life. And God had rather see us walk in humility, like Christ showed, rather than, in a sense, to be so strong that we look like that, you know, you can see that from time to time. And what I'm saying to you this morning is, there's no way. Sometimes I think about when Jesus cried out to the Pharisees, you hypocrites. He called them vipers, snakes. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know enough about a person. I know what the world looks like, vipers, when they go against God, don't you? I see things in this world that atheists say about God and curse his name. I think they're acting like a viper. But as far as knowing to come to a person personally and say that that person is a viper, I have no authority to that because I can't see the heart. But Jesus didn't call them vipers. And therefore they were vipers if he called them that. Because he could see the heart. But I know this, that God has given us some things inside for us to listen to that would help us reprove ourselves and be better Christians. And that's what we see this morning. As I'm talking about, wherever I'm at in Jesus Christ, I'm on the winning side. Wherever you're at in Jesus Christ, if you're truly born again, not deceived about it, you're on the winning side. And you'll see that in the message this morning. Look at me in Romans, and we start with just as a kickoff place. In Romans chapter 8, verse 35, the Apostle Paul said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distresses or persecutions or famines or nakedness or peril or sword?" And ain't a lot of things, didn't he? Now, he said, shall that do it? He's going to tell us, no, they can't do that. Why? There must be a reason why those things cannot. I'm going to tell you, some of these things sometimes worry me, don't you? I mean, are you the one that you never have any problems in the sense of where you have no tribulation, no troubles, no troubles and things like that? No trials, distresses? Have you been where you've never been persecuted for anything? And not, but maybe not for Christ in this situation other than getting a tongue lash and someone tells us where to go once in a while. And you think, God, you're not going there if you're saved. But on the other hand, there's persecution comes in otherwise in people's lives. There's none of us here don't come in contact with these things somehow or another. And he tells us, or peril or sword. But then he says, it's written. In contrast to verse 35, he says, it's written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted in sheep for the slaughter. I might say in parallel to that, because 37 is in contrast. Here he's talking about that these things you see, we find is written already. It's written that these things are going to be there. We're killed all the day long, Paul said. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. And we're counted as sheep for the slaughter if we don't give our life. We're still counted as sheep for the slaughter. Then notice he said, 37. Nay, I love that. That's not a horse's sound either, by the way. Nay, he said. Watch what he says. He said, in all things. Wait a minute. In a few things? Maybe a few things? He said, and just listen to me, if nobody else. In all things, I want you to know something. You're conquerors. Oh, no, more than that. He says, in all things, we are more than conquerors. How? Through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, covered by everything you think about. And then he went further, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So I'm telling you, he'd give us a promise in the age of grace. But now I need to understand, how does this thing operate in my life? Go back with me to me, the book of Psalms in chapter 59, and let's study the life of David. I love this because I've been studying David's life for a good while. And what a blessing to see how he shows both sides of the fence. If you look in verses 1 through 8, you'll find that David is really in a serious problem. Here he is fighting in the sense for his life. God has already anointed him by Samuel to be king of Israel. But kings that sat on the throne of David, or sat on the throne of Israel at that time, as we talk about, or Jerusalem, where the capital would be at, it seemed like it was far away for him to be king, because he was fighting outward all the time. And he comes before God, and here's a person, listen, if there's ever been an example for us other than Jesus Christ and maybe the Apostle Paul, to tell us some things about life going on inside and outside and how we can handle that and what can help us to help on the outside if it's at the inside right, it's David. Because in these first five verses, he did something that amazes me. He cries for God to destroy his enemies. Look what he said. I can't read it. I'm going to read verse 10, but I'm going to paraphrase quickly as I read it. Deliver from me my enemies, he said, oh my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from the bloody men. For lo, they're lying in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me, not for my transgression, not for my sin. He said, this coming from back against me is not because I've sinned now. It's not because of my transgression. It's not because of my sin. It's because where you have signed me in turn to be king, and now my enemies is trying to destroy me. So it won't happen. Then he said, then run and prepare themselves without my faults. Awake at me, help me, and behold, thou therefore, O God, Lord of God of hosts, the God of Israel, wake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgression. Salah. They return as even. They make a noise like a dog and go around about the city. They bark another time about things out of chaos, as if something is going to attack all the time. He said, behold, they belch out their mouth swords as with their lips. Well, who say they that doth hear? But thou, O Lord, shall laugh at them. Thou shalt have all the heathen of derision. That is, there come a time that the scoffing and all the rebellion and the ridicule that comes on, God will take care of it. But then notice the outward expression of David. By the way, he's talking to God here, not nobody else, folks. And God puts in his word. His heart is honest for God. That's the reason you find David is a man after God's own heart. David understands that God reveals to his heart and he comes to God one side, but he quickly switches over to the other side of humility and surrender to him. Notice what he said. Because of his strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. He's strong against me, and I just have to, be sure I'm biblically, but then I'll let out biblically, and I'll just wait. Because God said, David said, God is my defense if I do it right. And then he goes on and he says, the God of my mercy shall forbid me, but God shall let me see my desire upon the enemy. Slay them, lest thy people forget. Scatter them by the power and bring them down, O Lord, I shall. For the sin of their mouth and the sword of their lips, let them be taken to, and their pride, because he said pride is causing that. And for cursing and for lying, which they speak sometimes bothers me when you say, you know, I know so-and-so. Brother, he said, I'm going to tell you what, I heard that person cuss. I know, it shocked me. Have you ever heard a Christian cuss? I'm telling you, if that's right, that's wrong, folks. That's wrong. It's wrong for anyone to do it, but especially a child of God. Then he goes on and he says, for the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let me take into pride. He said, consume them in wrath, consume them that they may not be, and let them know that God ruleth in Jacob and to the ends of the earth. In other words, let people know that God is still on the throne. And it even let them return and let them make their noise like a dog and go around about the city. Let them do these things. They wandered up and down for meat and grudge of that, if they that they be not satisfied. But watch what he says. I, come back to him, say, God, let them do that. But I will sing unto of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense. Thou art my refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense, and for God is my mercy. Now let's look at, as he says this psalm, Psalm 59 is what he's given us of the trouble he's having in 1 Samuel. Turn there with me, if you will. And then we'll put the two together, and he'll give us something we should see in even age of grace. So God gives us the Holy Spirit to help understand these things. If you turn to 1 Samuel, and we'll be looking around at just a few verses, about 17, 18, somewhere along there. King David is called the Beloved. And he's called that. He was one of the most beloved kings that Israel ever had. God allows us to look inside of David's own heart. If you look at the Psalms as a whole, this is just one portion when he was in stress with Saul and some others, the Philistines. And hear in his own heart and see his true nature of our own hearts and our souls from the internal battles that we do not see at times. We see David's battle on the inside and on the outside of his life. David is called a warrior. David is called a killer, adulterer. But he's also called a man after God's own heart. They opposite each other. Help me out, some of you who don't know what I'm talking about. They're opposite each other. A killer, a warrior, and a man after his own heart, on God's own heart. That don't even sound right, does it? What's going on here? David is a person who knows the flesh is there, but when God speaks to his heart, he listens quickly and corrects it because he knows that God's right and he's wrong. And what amazes me about this is he helps us as a child of God. We see David's battles on the inside, and we see him on the outside of his life. Three quick points. Number one, Psalms 59, verse 9 through 16 is a good start as we look at life as David and see what happened to him. And then come out to amazing grace. In grace, we have the Holy Spirit living in us who helps the same way. Know that David said God was his fortress in verse 16, his refuge in times of trouble. Not from times of trouble. David not said, when I get in trouble, I run from that to God. He says, no, in that trouble, while I'm in that trouble, God is my fortress. God is my help. I have his word. I have his promises. We have it documented. We have access to it. And I can use that and know in that trouble, God will deliver me as long as I follow his word and do what he says to do. As a child of God, first I got to get saved first. Boy, I even know that. And David is showing us, even in that Old Testament, he didn't have the Holy Spirit living in him, but he showed us something. There were some times when David felt overwhelmed in his life. Psalm 59 was written during the time when Saul wanted to take David's life. Not only is David anointed to be future king of Israel, but 1 Samuel teaches us his destiny in life is far greater than his present circumstance. In other words, what David is going through by Saul and others, it's horrible, but this destiny is greater than his present circumstance. Why? God has already anointed him by Samuel the prophet. He's going to be king of Israel. And now he's going through circumstances that no one's going to have to come. Throne's going to look like you have to go through that. Fight the Philistines, fighting every day of your life, running from Saul, running, and then all of a sudden find yourself in the palace of Saul playing a harp for him. Don't sound right, does it? Isn't it amazing how God can move with things in people's heart, whether it's right or wrong? And here I see now David is really concerned, but his destiny overrides his present circumstances. He's got to trust God that he will be king, that Saul can't go but so far before it's got to stop him. And that's hard to do sometimes when you're in the midst of trouble, when your heart's broken, when you're crying and the world's caved in. It's hard sometimes to understand that. But David assures something here, I believe with all my heart. So in 1 Samuel chapter 17, 18, 19, David is winning big outwardly. He's fighting everywhere and winning the Philistines. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, note what David did, if you will, to Goliath before he gets in some of the other places. Here he comes. You remember the scene? I can't get into all of it. But the biggest thing about it is that he goes out to fight Goliath. And when you see him here in verse 42, chapter 17, Philistine looked about him and saw David, and he disdained him. But he was a youth and a ruddy and also a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou should command to me against with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Goliath began to cuss David by his God. Boy, David knew he didn't have no worry about it because his gods couldn't do anything. If anything could be done, it'd be but Goliath. And Goliath certainly had the power, the strength, and the weapons to destroy David. But on the other hand, the Philistine said to David, come to me and I'll give the flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. And then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, with a shield. The shield weighs more than I do. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the Mount of armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day the Lord will deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I'll give their carcass to the host of the Philistines this day with the fowls of the air and wild beasts of the earth. And he said, I'll get your head off. He didn't have a sword to do that. But when he got that slingshot set up and hit him face first. And what amazes me again, he fell forward. That's showing that he's falling before God, went away from God. And David took his own sword, took the Goliath's sword and cut his head off and held it up in victory. David becomes a nightmare to his enemies, even though he hadn't got to the throne as yet. At the same time, when his military career was going well, his musical program began to go well too. Because here he is, Saul threatened to kill him. And Saul, God is sending an evil heart to him in turn, so he knows he needs some help. And David can play a harp. And next thing I know, he's in David's palace playing the harp. Well, that's a bad place to be when your enemy is looking to try to kill you, isn't it? But here David is doing what he's allowed to do. He's won against the Philistines, and he's also now using his musical talents for God against his enemies. And David has no concern about it. It seemed like same time when his military was going, he was playing for King Saul in this palace in chapter 1 Samuel 16, 16. Many think that when you're winning in life, things get better. But many times, this does not seem true. Many times when more success comes in our life, the struggle will increase in proportion to the victories that you may have. And you may have more struggles you had before, even though you had victories. Because struggles lets us move forward knowing that we can't do it by ourselves. If anything is accomplished for us who are saved, it's because God gave us the ability to do it. And when I see, but with greater levels of victory comes greater levels of responsibility and challenges. And it seems that when David was win a battle, he'd get to move to a higher assignment or to a higher level for some reason. Because he's winning battles after battles. Look at those chapters and you see. He can in thousands of his, at one time had to fight his own son against his own people and won. And something like over 20,000 people were killed. Number two, after he defeated Goliath, he had to fight more Philistines and address struggles with vengeful Saul. When David came home in 1 Samuel 18:6, and the women saw him, and then they came to Saul, and they began to sing to Saul, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000. Saul has slain his thousands and David his ten thousand. I mean, to go in the streets and cry, Saul has killed his thousands and David's 10,000. You know what's going to happen to Saul? He gets angry, bitter. He can't stand this. It's against his pride. He's king. And yet, this little runt, David, has been sung about. And it makes his heart even angrier. And Saul becomes very angry, very upset. And he kept a close eye on David. In 1 Samuel 19, verse 9 and 10, he said, the next day an evil spirit came upon God on Saul while David played his harp for Saul. He was soothing with his bitter mess. But then suddenly, while David was playing the harp and Saul was being soothed, God sent an evil spirit to him. Because he's going to do something. Why? He said, why we got to do that? He's evil already. And he's going to do something because David's going to realize he's in God's hands no matter what may happen. And what a blessed thing to see. These are for our written, for our learning, evolution, and so forth. And so we see David killed. In his mind, David's doing what David does best. That is, he's fighting the Philistines, but he's also playing for Saul. In 1 Samuel 9, 8, we keep in mind fighting the Philistines. David did not write Psalms 53 or 59 while he was going through his battle. He wrote it after he experienced God's victory in his life. So in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 27, the Bible said David killed 200 Philistines just to get his wife. He had to murder to get his wife. That's the side of David. I see it's there. Maybe Saul's greatest battle with his own soul within. This is a situation amazing to me. Since Saul sensed that his kingdom is slipping away from him, and he intends to take his anger out on David. Why? David is the one that God has anointed. David is the one that may take his throne. He is going to take his throne. But Saul thinks that since he's got it, he can keep it. He's not going to do something. Hey, I'm the authority. And then we go and said, when we do, is there war? And I thought, Saul's greatest battle is within his own self. Is there war inside of us that no one can see on the outside? Except when they begin to see subjects of things, it's because there's a war inside. They're fighting something inside and hadn't had the victory of it yet. When we do not have peace within ourselves, we tend to fill our times with something else or blame someone else for it. Within, some things are easy to hide. Yet a dysfunctional life will soon show itself in life. Because why? God is the authority. It'll either be put in the blood and settled, or it'll be manifested. So is there war raging in us sometime or another that's on that people see something on the outside that's not true on the inside? When we do not have peace with ourselves, we tend to try to fill our time with something or be blamed. And most people want to be restored before they respond. Most people like to be forgiven before they ask forgiveness. But we're all in the same boat, rowing the same way. Except you'll say we're rowing a different way, because at least in the boat where Christ is part of, God helps us faster when we respond to Him correctly and the Bible's correctly. That's the reason someone said, everything we talk about, what we do or not do, is biblical. You better believe it. If it's not biblical, it's not worth doing. And so it comes to be a problem, we'll lay it out biblically. It'll be laid out. And if it don't do it, then we move on, because God said, if it's laid out biblically, you're clear, I'll take care of it. And then I go on and I see that as this happens, Saul is walking and talking and breathing civil war within himself. When one is not right with God within himself, it doesn't matter how prosperous our situation is. There is no peace with God. There is no peace of God. You have to have peace with God to have peace of God. You can have peace with God in Jesus Christ. But even then, you have peace in God in Jesus Christ. But if you don't have the peace of God, it's because even though we're in Christ, there's something in the way that's hindering. And this helps us. And this is why Saul needs David's heart and music to drown all the noise that's going on inside of him. And by the way, it did work. But watch what happens. This sounds like a television program, doesn't it? It's more than that. It's reality of life. Everybody would like to remove the Goliaths out of their lives. I would. Wouldn't you? I guarantee you, if you look long enough, you got to. Some of us don't have to look just around the corner. We have things in our life that try to hinder us. in this life. Everybody likes to move the glass out of the line. But if we will be honest, we are all more like Saul than we are David. Who would not enjoy the experience of being crowned or favored or loved or rested or anointed as a king? David gave Psalm 23. Read it sometime. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Go through it. With such a promise from God, why would anyone like Saul try to control things with a weapon in his hand? Here, Saul has a spirit. And look at the scene. This is what got my heart. Here, Saul now is sitting as David plays the harp with a spear in his hand. He's sitting there with his head down, spear in his hand. And David's over there just playing the harp. Now, when you see this, it's amazing. Saul has a war within, and David has a war without it at this time. We will never win the war without until we win the war within. That's when we need Jesus Christ. Don't you understand that, folks? Without him, we have no peace with God, and we cannot have the peace of God. So, because of the new creation, we no longer have to be at war with ourselves anymore. Paul's already told us we're more than conquerors in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that leads to the third thing about this life, that I am a winner. I'm on the winning side. Note, as I said again, Saul had a spear and David had a heart. It's amazing. It's just got strings on it. Let me ask you something. Which would you rather have to damage the other person? A spear or a heart with strings on it? Well, I come from Johnson County. I'd rather have the spear. That harp can't do nothing but make music. In fact, it's so heavy, he can't even throw it at Saul. And here, all of a sudden, he's playing, and David seemed to be, and Saul seemed to be taking it in. And ladies and gentlemen, here's the amazing thing about it. When David fought Goliath, at least he had a slingshot. But here, 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 10, Saul suddenly, out of his rage, throws the spear at David. And listen, folks, they're in a room. They're not out in the open. He's not 25 feet or 30 feet away. He's in a room. Saul's on one side. David's on the other side. And suddenly the anger comes so much that Saul takes the spear and throws it at David. Listen, there's no way in the world he can miss. But he did miss. And he ended up in the wall. Boy, when I saw that and began to see that and see David's heart, and I've been reading weeks and months now in the Psalms, and it amazes me what God brings out. And then you can go back and see what when the Psalm was written and sung and what they were going through in the historical records and put them together, it just opened up a whole new field about us who's in the age of grace. We have advantage on all of these. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. We have the complete Word of God. The only thing he had at that day was what he did think was the Old Testament, and all that wasn't incomplete, you see, at the time. And so here, he finds himself being attacked. And at this particular time, it's obvious, as I read this, that Saul's hand's on the spear. It's obvious that David's hand's on the harp. But it's also obvious that the unseen hand inside that drives the spear. And he missed him. Now, I know what I'd have done, wouldn't you? I'd have got the spear and threw it back at him. Because David had a right. He was threatened. He had a right to throw the spear back. But he didn't. That amazes me. The fact I see he didn't, suddenly I saw something that God was trying to teach me even more now after 59 years in the Lord. There's things that goes on inside that only God can answer. Because when I try to answer it, I mess it up. And I see then here the hours. The fact that David did not return the spear. It seems like that sometimes we get in situations where darts are of doubts and words are flying towards us and that we get offended and fight back. But wait a minute. David must have knew because of his promise. He must have knew that Saul cannot kill him what God has crowned. He must have knew, ladies and gentlemen, when the hours fly, and he talks about those darts in the book of the New Testament, the darts that Satan has and throws at us, the darts a doubt assail against us, when it seems too hard for us to handle, God will still, with his mighty hand, can deliver us. Today, here is where we need the armor of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, 1 Samuel chapter 19, David has a decision to make. He has been threatened by the king who had a right to do that and probably got by if he'd killed him. Not with God, though. And I see again, he had this thing. David had a decision to make. He could take the spear out of the wall and throw it back at Saul. David was a good aimer, a warrior. David doesn't miss. How do I know that? He could take a slingshot and a rock and killed Goliath. He don't miss. If he'd have threw it back, he wouldn't have missed. But God humbled his heart. David trusts that the same hand that guided the rock into the for the head of Goliath would be the same hand that would protect him from Saul. David cannot take Saul's place by destroying Saul. He would then have taken the throne by force rather than in God's promise. By the way, he could have made a decision to throw it, but he didn't. Why? Because he knew God had promised him that he would have the throne of David, and if he killed Saul, he'd have took it by force rather than by promise. Amen, preacher Ennis, amen. When God showed me that a few weeks ago early one morning, I couldn't help but shout, God, there's many things I don't understand, but I know this, you have them in your hands. Amen. You have it in your hands. And God, the end results will be the best for all of us. That's the reason I have to pray, God, help me love my enemies. And by the way, you do too. You say, preacher, can you do that? That's what took Christ to the cross. He died for every human being as an enemy of God. Mm-hmm. He paid the sin debt for everyone. Amen. Every last one of them. And that included me when I look in the mirror. I never look at myself in the mirror many times when I think about God that I don't realize. I can't explain his love. But if I'd been the only one that's on the earth after Adam and Eve, he'd have died for me. Mm-hmm. By the way, I can say to you, so will he had done for you. In fact, he did do it for you. And he did it for me. So I'm seeing here the tremendous thing about what's happened to David in life. And I can say I'm on the winning side. The easiest thing for David to do was to fight. This came natural to David. He was a warrior. The hardest thing for David to do was to be humble and depend upon God. As 2 Corinthians chapter 10 led me that or this morning. As I was in my study in 2 Corinthians, and I've read this many times, but never like in the light that he showed to me this time. In 2 Corinthians, turn that with me, chapter 10. You remember down in verse 10, 3, 4, and 5, Paul said this. He said, for though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds. And then verse 5, casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Notice, against the knowledge of God. He didn't just say, I'm God, but the knowledge of God. Of course, to be against God is to be against the knowledge of God. But in this case, we have the knowledge in this book, against the knowledge of God. And bringing him into captivity, every thought, what's this? And this is what got me, to the obedience of Christ. Every thought should be brought to the obedience of Christ. He didn't even say God, but God says God. Why? It is Christ who paid the sin debt. And so I look and I begin to see in Psalm 59 describes what David is going through in 1 Samuel 19. In 1 Samuel 19 tells what David did with his hands. In Psalm 59 tells what David did with his heart. And listen, his heart controlled his hand. And that's what God is saying. Your heart should control you, not your flesh. Because I have control of the heart, I made it new. And you can be things you didn't think you could be. You can do things you can't think you could do. Others may laugh and scorn like David said he did. But God said, hey, I'm the end result. And your destiny is greater than your present time. By the way, so is ours. Heaven is much greater than this life. The ground of full glorified body is much greater than this body. To be like Christ in his fulfillment at the end is a tremendous thing. David had a shield called faith. Sometimes in battle we need a sling rock, a sling with a rock. Sometimes we need to stay behind our shield and trust God that is going to be before us in the battle. We are not David, I know that, yet God is our strength and he's our refuge in Jesus Christ. If you don't understand that, folks, you're going to be at odds all the time and making a lot of things that just don't make sense at times because you're facing with a cruel world. And we have to do things, and God give us wisdom how to do those things at the right time. We're not David, but our strength and refuge, Jesus Christ. And we know that we're more than conquerors. We do not fight for victory. And this is something that I read a long time ago and never met anything like, felt like it does now, though. I don't fight for victory. I fight from victory. I've already won. I've already won. And I said, Lord, thank you so much. In my mind, I can't really understand sometimes in the flesh, though, as I've served God all these years, why he will let men who would dare stand for God and suddenly be arrested, even though I don't care what nationality they are, if they're serving God, and how let their heads be cut off. It's hard to understand that. But when you understand what David said, what God has said here, your present situation is nothing compared to your destiny. And when you get to your destiny, you're going to say, man, everything I've experienced in the past is little compared to what the problem was. That's when David could talk about his infirmities. Nothing compared to what God has for him in glory. And I close with a thought. We do not fight from victory. We fight from victory. We don't fight for victory. When we learn to win the war within ourselves, we can learn the weapons of warfare that are available and also when to use the sling and when to use the shield. God took his hands off of Saul. Here's the thing. The Bible teaches that God took his hands off of Saul at this time and placed them on David. And Saul's destiny. No one knew that. We wouldn't know if he hadn't had it in the Word of God. But if God had not took his hands off of Saul and put on destiny, then we wouldn't know the outcome. But we know this. Saul is headed for worse things. Simply because what he tried to do to David. And here's the thing. Walking by faith will cause you to do what you cannot do otherwise. God will not change any of us unless we respond to him by faith to obey. Some people say, I just want him to respond to me. You know, I want you to change me. I want him to do this, change me without responding. No, responding is obedience. Responding is humility. And in turn, I'm not fighting for victory. I'm fighting from victory. And Jesus Christ, hear me, I say to you, and I'm not boasting. God knows my heart. I put the title on this thing I'm on the winning side. Somebody say, just boast. That's all you Christians do is boast. No, God sees my heart. My boast is in him. Everything that he has and I will ever be is because of him. And by the way, I'll say you do the same thing. And when I talk about being the winning side, he knows my heart. It's only because Christ is there. And it may look like to you sometimes I'm losing. It may look like to you sometimes I blew it. But I know this. If I come to God like David did, David's one of the Old Testament patriarchs to let me understand that I have more than he has because I have the Holy Spirit living in me and I have a complete Word of God that David didn't have. Amen. And if I find and look that deep enough, God will help me when others may think, no, it's just not like it should be or something. If it's biblical, it'll be right. And God said, that will be better in your destiny than in your present time. I may suffer here and win there. And by the way, when you analyze it, I'd rather suffer here and win there. Because that's forever. Paul said, this is temporary. And so I see myself. Why can I say that I'm a winner? Why can you say if you're a child of God, you're a winner? Because Jesus Christ conquered, hear me, death, hell, and the grave. And you can say for me, so Lord, Satan, in your face, I will say I am on the winning side because Jesus lives in my heart. Not bragging. God tells us not to do that. But state the fact to understand what goes on inside of me is for me and God to work out. And if I don't obey, he's not going to respond. If I do obey, he'll respond. If others think he doesn't respond, he still responds because my destiny is going to be better than my present time. If you're here this morning, you're not saved. Listen to my radio or Ustream. Your destiny is more important right now. If you're not saved, you need to trust Christ. You need to trust Him, folks. Men will say, well, He has. But if you have not, you need to trust Him. It's so easy to trust Him to walk through the door by faith. Then you and I who are saved must understand. Somebody talked about preaching. A lot of times we like preaching on things we already know. But if we preach on things we always know all the time, we come dull of hearing. And all of a sudden, we find out we'll catch glimpse of other things, other places that will destroy us more than help us. God wants to help us. This is what wants to help us. And so He shows us a man called David, the Old Testament, by the Spirit of God, showing us even in the New Testament what He said about us as conquerors. And we ought to know it more so than David because we have the Holy Spirit living in us. We have the complete Word of God. And the thing about this is, ladies and gentlemen, amazing thing in this world is that David's life was up and down. And you look at a lot of the Old Testament saints, patriarchs, was up and down. But their present condition, sometimes they made some bad decisions. Abraham even one time lied about his wife. You remember that? But he's still the one that God used to bring the nation of Israel into existence. And if He had not brought Israel into this existence, per se, according to this plan, you and I would never known Christ, because Jesus was born of the Jews, folks. And that one that was born is our Savior. Father in heaven, thank You again for the Word of God. My Father, I don't understand some things, but I know this. Studying now, You're helping me see things that I probably don't see long ago, but I wasn't able then. I'm seeing things. I believe every experience I go through, God is a path to get me in the Word of God to find a biblical answer. And once the biblical answer is done, that's all one can do. And I look at David. He's a warrior, dear Father. He'd take a slingshot and do things that some people can't do with big arsenals because God's hand's in on it. And we see his heart in the book of Psalms. What he says and what he cries out, because he has not the Holy Spirit living in him, and yet there is a movement in his heart for us to see it and see after he goes through his complaints, God Almighty comes back, and he comes back and says, God is my refuge. God is my answer. God is my everything. I trust Him. Lord, I'm going to wait on You. Help me do the right thing. For Your glory, the only thing that matters. Because I know this, anytime I'm faced with something in this life to try to harm me or harm us, every individual here, is Satan trying to change something in the present, thinking it's going to end up in the end the same way. But God said to David, I already set your destiny, son. You're going to be king. And Saul can't do a thing about it. And God's already set the destiny of every child of God because He teaches us that we believe on Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. And it's forever and ever. So our destiny is set in Christ if we know Him as Savior. So when we find these things and we come in, we pray and ask God to do things, Lord, we trust You and we back off and let You do it because my present time is nothing compared to what my destiny is. Just help us respond right. Always, Lord. Help someone today to respond today to believe in Jesus Christ. May we know about it if we don't know about it. Lord, help us hear about it. If not, one day see them in heaven, I know, because they for once analyzed themselves in the light of God's Word and said, Lord, help me like David. I wait on You, Lord. I've sing praises unto You. I do all that I can do to muster up inside what is needed while I wait on You. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. For His sake we ask it. Amen.